My next guest this morning is Diana Nyad. In 2013, she became the first person ever to swim from Cuba to Florida without a shark cage. She completed the 111-mile trek after four unsuccessful attempts dating back to the 1970s. She was 64 years old when she accomplished this amazing feat. She will be at the Joseph Meyerhoff Symphony Hall in Baltimore tomorrow night to speak on the Baltimore Speaker Series hosted by Stevenson University. She joins me this morning on the phone from Los Angeles. Ms. Nyad, it's a pleasure to talk to you. How are you doing?
Tom, my pleasure. I can't wait to be with everybody in Baltimore.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to having you here. You started researching this idea of swimming from Cuba to Florida back in 1977. Other people had done long-distance swims, like, you know, the English Channel and stuff. But what was the particular appeal? This particular swim, Cuba to Florida, seems to have been a kind of holy grail for you. How come?
It has long been called the Cuba Stretch, the Mount Everest of the Earth's oceans. You and I could lay out all the nautical charts of this blue jewel planet of ours, and we couldn't find Mother Nature raging on steroids in terms of what a swimmer comes up against any harder, any you know, more furiously around the globe than it does in that stretch of the Florida Straits between Cuba and Florida. It's the, of course, it's the sheer distance. But it's the particular animals that live there, that particular deadly box jellyfish, the particular species of sharks, quick, aggressive, the oceanic white tip. It's the current, the Gulf Stream that's going east. It's dragging you fast, east, 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 and you're trying to swim north, north, north. Then you've got an east wind that's coming over from Africa going up against that current. You know, I could go on for hours. It's like, it's just... It's a highly unlikely scenario to get across. Then you add that forbidden land, Cuba, that magical island that was just so close you could almost touch it from the Florida shore where I grew up. So it all sort of, you know, circled around to make a story, a dramatic story. And that's what most mountain climbers and, you know, cross-country trekkers look for. They're looking for the imagination of a place on Earth that would be exciting, that would be thrilling to try to cross. And that was always Cuba for me.
You know, I'm struck by, in your book, Find a Way, you talk, of course, about the, you know, the incredible physical tenacity and determination that it takes and the pain that you had to endure and the terrific team that you have. But you also talk about the beauty, the wonder of the experience itself, swimming in that particular part of the ocean. And you're right, at one point you say and you did this, of course, when you were 64 years old, you say it's a very different time of our life, our 60s, compared to our 20s. The ego's not so fragile, the peacock feathers not so driven to strut, and add to that the realization that I swam many of those hours back in my 20s in utter rage. This time I was in love with our blue planet, whereas I barely noticed her when I was young. This was a very spiritual experience for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess you could go, so I want to be careful, you know, not to say religious. I'm not a religious person, but spiritual, you know, you're right about age. I mean, you know, when I was in my 20s, it doesn't mean that I couldn't, you know, stand on a beautiful beach and look out at a sunset and see that it was beautiful. But wow, when you get closer toward the end of this one-week, you know, way street, we're all traveling, you just take a deep breath at the stunning beauty that the Earth is. And to be a good traveler, you know, you could look at it that way. We would train. I'd swim from St. Martin over to the island of Anguilla. You know, most people take a boat and they make that an all-day excursion. I'd swim over there, take a turn and swim all the way back to the island of St. Martin, swim along the Florida coast for miles and miles and miles traveling. You almost have the, you know, unreal sensation that you're traveling over the curvature of the Earth. So it is a sport of suffering. I think that if you talk to most extreme alpine climbers, you know, if you've seen any of the films of Everest and Annapurna and K2, there's a lot of suffering up at high altitude. And then on the other hand, every now and then, because they got in good enough shape, because they had the science and the technology and the teamwork, they get a moment of utter awe standing on the top of, or you know, in the middle of those couloirs that you just can't get sitting around on the couch. And the same for me out in that beautiful ocean where no one had ever gone. you know, traversing a very difficult stretch. It's tough. And then occasionally you float on your back and you look up at 4 billion stars out in the middle of nowhere, and you got there on your own steam. I'll tell you, Tom, it's a natural high like I've never known.
On 88.1, my guest this morning, Diana Nyad, the long-distance swimmer, the broadcaster, the author, the linguist, a person of many talents. She'll be appearing at the speaker series sponsored by Stevenson University tomorrow night. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. I'm also struck, Ms. Nyad, by the fact that you titled your book Find a Way. There's a lot about not giving up and that incredible determination that it took for you to accomplish this. But part of not giving up was, in fact, finding the way. So it's not just a matter of physical tenacity, but also intellectual mastery of what it took to do this with your team.
Oh, yeah. This is a true full-on expedition. There were 44 people on the team in total, actually 17 on the inner circle. But we're talking about the top jellyfish expert in the world, Dr. Angel Yanagihara. We're talking about a mathematical genius of a navigator, John Bartlett. My head trainer, Bonnie, knows where courage lies. And if I'm fresh out, she knows how to summon that last drop that I might have in me. So, you know, I think that the point, though, Tom, is that it sounds like a story of an athlete, of an extreme adventurer and her team. And it is. It is all those things. But it is beyond that. The reason find a way was our mantra is because all of us, we're either battling a tough something, raising a disabled child, perhaps. We've got cancer. We're chasing a dream. You know, you're 65 years old, and you were going to be the writer of the great American novel, but you stuffed it in the back of a drawer 30 years ago. Everybody has another shore. Everybody has something they're looking at. We have hopes. We have dreams. And if you just don't give up, you get smashed, you get slapped down, you have to take curves, you have to be innovative. Well, if you want to get to that other shore of yours, you will find a way.
And with each successive try, because it's amazing that you tried this 4 times and were not successful, and it was the 5th attempt that finally worked, you write in your book that you were less confident each time you did it. For so many people, that fear would have been crippling. How you somehow turned it around. You made that fear work for you.
I think you're right. I was less confident, or let's say I was more overwhelmed and realistic about what is out there. Every time we stood on the shore in Cuba and looked out at that horizon, it looked farther and farther away because we knew too well what was out there. We had experienced it. It's not hyperbole to say I should have died with those massive box jellyfish things in 2011. It's almost always fatal, and I should have died that night. And so we stood there for the 5th time looking out saying, whoa. And Bonnie, my head handler, grabbed my shoulders, and that's where the phrase came. She said, come on, let's find a way. So, you could say maybe I was more realistic. I'm not sure if I'd use the words less confident, but I was more realistic about the slim chances to get across as we went. But I honestly, Tom, deep down, the resolve all those years was unshakable.
Diana Nyad, she'll be speaking at the Baltimore Speaker Series sponsored by Stevenson University tomorrow night. WIPR's Sheila Cast will host that event. We've got a link to more information on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. We look forward to your lecture tomorrow night, and thanks so much for your time this morning, Diana Nyad.
Tom, thank you very much.
Coming up Wednesday here on Maryland Morning, we'll continue our conversations with candidates for mayor of Baltimore City. State Senator Catherine Pugh will be my guest. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for joining us. Garrison Keillor's up next with the Writer's Almanac. Have a great day.